I'd like to read to you this morning a little deal I have here that I thought would be interesting to go along with the message. It says, "Why go to church?" A church goer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. "I've gone for 30 years now," he wrote, "and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting their time." This started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column. To the delight of the editor, it went on for weeks until someone finally wrote this clincher: "I've been married 30 years now, and in that time my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals, and for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead also." I thought that was kind of neat. Go along with the message a little bit. My message is very simple, and I'll give you the title in just a moment. But I want to go over some things, first of all, about membership. Membership today is falling off in many churches in America. I was just reading an article this morning on the internet by the Catholic Church about why the Catholic Church has lost so many members. And really around the country, a lot of denominations are losing members, almost like rats running off of a sinking ship. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ said this one time? He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." He also said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." David said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." So when you read your Bible over and over, God challenges us to make commitments. A commitment for life in the ways of the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants us to make commitments. Commitments are a very difficult thing for most Americans to make today in our society. Someone called a preacher one time to say that they wanted to place their church membership, but he went on to explain that he did not want to worship every week. He didn't want to study the Bible, and he didn't want to visit the sick, and he didn't want to serve as a leader or a teacher in the church. So the minister commended him for his desire to be a member, but told him the church that he sought was located in another section of town. The man took the directions and hung up. When he arrived at the address, the man came face to face with the logical results of his own apathetic attitude. There stood an abandoned church building, boarded up and ready for demolition. That's what no commitment does when it comes to a church. Modern day society has lost the idea of commitment. Living together rather than marriage has become the norm. Failure to discipline children has become normal in many areas of life, where parents sometimes will allow their children to be educated by society and the television. Money above all, instead of a good name, many times is prominent in Americans. And so when we have no commitment in many of these areas of life, it stands true to reason why people have a difficult time in making a commitment to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to membership. Many Christians, I believe, this morning fail to see the need or the importance of church membership. That was not that way in the first century, and of course that was quite a few years back. But in the first century, the Bible says there were added in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, about 3,000 souls to the church. The word "added" means to join. When you add two and two, it's the same as joining two and two. So the Bible does talk about joining a church. And so today I thought that I might go over some things about membership. I don't want to bore you one bit, but I think these things will help you to understand some things and perhaps even enlighten you in some areas. And I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to Acts chapter number 2. In Acts chapter number 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 41. I'm just going to go down a couple of verses here. But in Acts chapter number 2, you got your Matthew, Mark, your Luke, and your John, and then you got the book of Acts, very simple. But in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament, the Bible says this in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people joined the church, only one church in existence, the church that Jesus started during his earthly ministry in Matthew 16. He's resurrected, gone on back to heaven, instructed his apostles. And then Peter preaches a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and the people gladly receive his word. And those that gladly receive his word are baptized, thus adding 3,000 souls to what already existed, the New Testament church. And here is the running of that church after they join in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So the people that joined that church, they all stayed together continually, steadfastly in what the apostles had taught. They fellowshiped together. They had times of fellowship, dinners and potlucks together. They broke bread. That's not the Lord's Supper, by the way. When it talks about the Lord's Supper, it doesn't not only talk about breaking the bread, but it talks about the cup. You cannot take the Lord's Supper without the body and blood of Christ. The cup is necessary. And in prayers. And the Bible says this in verse 43, and fear came upon every man or every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread, from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for bringing folks to church. I pray, Lord, that those folks that have taken time to come to church, many of the faithful members and many of the visitors today, I pray the message would help them and be a blessing to them. I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of the people as only you can do. Lord, I can preach the Bible and I can say what the Bible says, but I can't speak to the heart. Only you can do that, Father. And I pray the Holy Spirit might touch the hearts of God's people today. And even if there's a person here that's not saved today, they might step out and trust Christ as their Savior today. Maybe there's someone here today been thinking about membership and been thinking about baptism and thinking about these various things today. Maybe this message will help them today. I trust it will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I'm going to go through some things today that are benefits, really, for joining a New Testament Baptist church. And I'm going to do I don't know whether it was a Jay Leno or Johnny Carson. I don't know who started the top 10. Was it Letterman that started that? Well, I'm going to incorporate that a little bit here in my sermon this morning, because y'all are probably used to that if you ever watch television. I know most of you don't, but if you do, you're probably used to that whole idea. And so I'm going to start off with number 10 when it comes to benefits of joining a New Testament church. Now, number 10 would be that everyone needs somebody sometime. Do you agree with that? Is that reasonable, that everybody needs somebody at some time? I mean, the Bible does teach us that no man is an island. The Bible does teach us that sooner or later we're going to need someone sometime. I mean, we joke and we laugh and we scold the hospitals and we say, well, you know, the hospital has lousy doctors up there and they don't do this right and they don't do that right. I know this guy that died in the hospital and so on and so forth. But when you need a hospital, you need a hospital. When you need a doctor, you need a doctor. When you need a policeman, you need a policeman. You need somebody sometime. We like to think that we're all islands and we don't need anybody, but most of us really do, at various times in our life, need somebody. The benefits of church membership is just that, that someone is always there just when you need them. Now think about that. Those of you, of course, that have been members of this church for a long time, you can probably testify to that, that there's been somebody there when you needed them at some time in your life. For instance, we all get sick sooner or later. Amen? We all get sick. Rick and I went up Wednesday night after church and visited Shelley's mom in the hospital, and she's been in the hospital. She's still there. She was elated to see us. I don't know why anybody would be elated to see us, but she was. And that's good. When you're in the hospital, you need somebody to visit you now and then. You know, you just do. Sometimes you need some counseling or somebody there to maybe help you, give you a little counsel, a little advice. Sometimes you have a death, and it's good to have a church membership where you can avail yourself to the church for a funeral or whatever it might be, or help with a burial or all these various things. Church membership is very good in that situation. Sometimes one of your children may be in the hospital, or your husband may be in the hospital, or your wife may be in the clink, and you need somebody to go and visit them. That may happen sometime. I've visited a lot of members in the church that have been in the jail. We've had a lot of jailbirds in this church in the last 40 years. And I visited them. I've been to the prison and visited past members of this church that were in the prison in Deer Lodge. And so you're all going to need somebody at some time. So please don't get to the place where we think we are an island unto ourselves and we need no one. Matter of fact, verse 44 says, and all that believe were together. They were together. They fellowshiped together. They just were together because they needed each other. And that's really what a church is all about. That's number 10. Now, number nine is this. Number nine is verse 46, and I've written down this. It'll increase your social contact. Look at verse 46. It says that they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, I'll tell you, we're coming to a place in our society in America where social action and social gifts and social etiquette is really lacking in America today. And the reason for it is your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, your PC, whatever you may have, we spend so much time with those things that we really have forgotten how to talk to people. We've forgotten how to interact. Now you say, well, I know how to talk to people. My wife knows how to talk to people. Got to see our phone bill. I mean, we all know how to talk to people, but a lot of us just don't anymore. We don't have that interaction like we used to have in society. There was a time in society when people spent time together. I know that when my grandson went to France, one of the times, he went three times, but one of the times he said, you know, when you go to France and you get with a family and you sit down to dinner, your dinner might last 3 or 4 hours. And I say, most Americans don't even sit at the same table anymore. They look at dinner as a time of social interaction. We don't do that in America. Now, I'm not prescribing that we do that. But at the same time, there is a thought there. There is something there that has to do with interaction and increasing social contact. And this is something we need. Now, I believe that we really receive that in church. I don't think you can come to church and not talk to anybody a very long time. I don't think that can happen, especially in this kind of church. This is a pretty friendly bunch. In verse number 46 says that that's what they continually did on a daily basis. They got together. And so increasing our social contact is very, very important as you fellowship with fellow believers. in your church you meet people of the same trials and tribulations that you're going through. Raising kids, you might come across somebody in the church that's having the same problems you're having with your young people. Maybe they'll give you a little advice to help you. You get meet men that you can fish and hunt with and a lot of other things, you know. You just, all kinds of things that you happen in a church, your circle of friends grows. I was saved in 1969, and I tell you something, I got friends all over the world. I got friends all over the country that I never had before I became a Christian. And definitely never would have had unless I'd gone to a church and got into church and started to meet people. It's wonderful to know people and wonderful to have a network of friends around the country. When my son went down to Mayo Clinic in Phoenix to have them look at his brain tumor, it was wonderful to have a man there that is a good friend of mine, Pastor Terry Randolph, to call up and say, could you go to the airport and pick up Rick? Do you have a car that you could lend him? Do you have a place in your missionary apartment where he could stay while he's down there? No problem at all, Pastor Rick, no problem at all. Well, it's nice to have those networks. All of that is through church. All of that is through membership. And so it increases your social contacts. All have a tremendous thing in common. All of us do. Sometimes we think, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. Yes, they do. Churches are full of problems. Churches are full of problems and problem people, and we gather together to share our problems. It's a wonderful thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to be part of, because we need that. So many oftentimes we need that. And the thing that all of these folks had in common, they're all Christians, they're all saved, they're all washed in the blood of the Lamb, they're all together in one accord, the Bible says, a common salvation. Number 8 is fellowship. Look in verse 42, the Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Man alive, fellowship is so important. Somebody described fellowship one time as two fellows in a ship. that's an easy, you know, in a ship, you can't go too far. You're right there in a boat. I watched that movie the other night. I'm telling you, one of the best films I've seen in years, The Life of Pi. Oh, you need to see that. Not one swear word in the whole film. What a beautiful film. But this young Indian boy is in a boat with a tiger. In a little boat out in the middle of the ocean. I'll tell you something, they became friends. It was wonderful. And I'll tell you something, fellowship, we need fellowship. And in a church supplies that. As you fellowship with believers of like faith and order, you learn more about Christ and Christianity and life in general. So good to have folks get together. That's one of the reasons why we have these fellowship dinners just for 3 months. In the spring, every year, or not every year, we've had them for about 2 years, but we're having one this year. It starts this month. Where you invite, you got three couples in your team, and you invite another couple. Doesn't have to be a church member, it could just be a friend, a neighbor. And you invite them over, and you have dinner, and you just have a good time. You sit around the table and talk. Just have a fun time together. And you start to meet people in your church on a different basis than you do when you're in the service. In the service, you just, you know, hello, how you doing? And sit down, sing, give, listen to the preacher, get up, go home. But at a dinner, you sit around, you talk, you have a good time of friendship and fellowship. Simply being part of the flock is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I watched the sheep the other day, and over here in Peck's Ranch, out on the Seben Ranch out in the valley here, they had a whole bunch of the sheep in there, and they were all running in one direction. And I always look for the shepherd because he's out there somewhere, and you see him, he's over there. But all the sheep are going one place. And we're like that. We need to be together, you know, with other sheep, and it just helps us. We grow in the Lord. And so that's number 8. Number 7 is this. Improve your Christian life. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? If you're not in church, if you're not a member of a church, then you don't know what you're missing. Because sometimes being satisfied is not the true picture. until we find out there's something different out there. And being a non-church member has a lot to do with dissatisfaction, but we don't know it. I've always said this, when I go to church, when I go to these meetings, I say, and you've heard me say this before, I say, you know, Lord, give me something from this preacher that I don't know that I need. And every time I leave that church, I got something from that preacher that I didn't think I needed, because the Lord answers that prayer. And sometimes when we get into a church, we find out, man, there's things there I didn't even think I needed. All of a sudden, it makes so much sense to us, and we're so thankful that the Lord has built a church. He's built a body for us to come together with. We're so thankful to the Lord. But it improves our Christian life. In verse 45, it says this: they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, what does that mean? That means that we sell everything we own before we can become a man? No, that's not what it means. Because that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense at all. It means that these people in the church that had an abundance of things looked around the membership and they saw others that were in need. And so they had an abundance of some things and they said, you know, I could probably sell this and help out that family. And that's exactly what they did. That's what it means in verse 45. And I have seen this over the years of time in this church. I've seen this happen over and over again. I've seen people in the church help other people. That's why I always tell you, cut up your credit cards, get all your bills paid, get on top of things, start to give to the Lord, and He'll give back to you and bless you so you can help somebody else. If you don't have enough money left over after paycheck and after the week's over to give, to give away, not loan, but give away and help somebody else, then you're in trouble financially. Say, well, I thought I was doing good, Pastor. Well, now you know you're not. I just told you. I'm not trying to be cocky, but I'm trying to be real this morning. We need to help each other in a church, and this is increasing our social contact, and one of the fellowships, number 8, is a tremendous way to help each other and improve our social life and our Christian life by helping other people. And I'll tell you, you enhance your Christian life when you help other people. You find out the real reason for Christianity. Find out the real reason God gave His only begotten Son. Teach us a lesson. Better to give than to receive. I wrote that in your bulletin this morning. How that when you give, it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, overflowing. But that doesn't happen until you give. And I'm not talking about the offerings of the church right now. I'm talking about helping somebody else. I tried to make a list the other day of the people that have helped me in 42 years of being a Christian. It's amazing. The list never ended. I went down and down and I kept adding and adding. You know, years ago in the church, we didn't have a dime. We didn't have nothing when we came to Helena. And Vicki and Ed used to give us bologna over, I mean real bologna. Ed sold for Oscar Mayer. And he used to bring us bologna all the time, ham sometimes. And I'll tell you, that was a blessing. We didn't have any money to buy food like we wanted to, and Ed would give us bologna all the time. I remember one time, Doc Sabota was a retired dentist in the church, and he liked to cut out coupons and enter these contests all the time. And he won one time a whole bunch of ketchup. He gave me boxes of ketchup. And I love ketchup, but boxes of ketchup. What a blessing that was. Over and over, I could go on and on. And I remember one time we had a lady join the church. She got saved. I baptized her. She gave me a pig, a whole pig. Of course, she cut it, killed it and cut it up, but she gave me a pig. It's amazing what God will do if you give first. Watch Him give back. And so once again, joining the church, it'll improve your Christian life and the quality of your life tremendously. That's number 7. Now number 6 is real interesting. Prestige. I don't make a big thing about prestige. The Bible says pride is a killer. Matter of fact, it's the biggest killer in Christianity is pride. A lot of you, maybe pride will keep you out of a church, keep you from joining the church. But pride is a killer. It's the worst killer in the world is pride. But prestige, I use the word because membership is a privilege. It's a privilege. This is not a man-made organization like Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or Brownies. This is God's institution. The Lord put this together. Jesus Christ built the church for a reason. And I'm naming some of the reasons, but one of the reasons right here is prestige. Look at verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Do you know the privilege of uniting with the church is awesome in this sense? You're together with a group of people that are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're identifying with the church that he started. He started it 2,000 years ago and it's still here. And when you get into a church and become a member, you're identifying with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, one day you're going to stand next to him in heaven. And I hope you're not going to have to explain why you shunned his church. He says he died for it. I wonder if he would lean over to you and say, "How come you never joined?" I tell you, it's a privilege. Tremendous privilege. Stick with the Bible, stick with the Lord, learn his teachings. Same teachings that this hand-picked group called apostles taught. Same things. Same teachings that they taught. We don't bring any man-made doctrine or teachings into the church. We teach just what Jesus, his apostles taught, what the first church taught. We can trace our ancestry all the way back to Christ. I have an illustration along there. A lot of denominations do not like vocal Baptist churches. They don't like vocal Baptist churches. But we're here not to please people, but to please the Lord. And a lot of people don't like that vocalness from the pulpit. They don't like that. But let me give you an illustration. Don't be like the bishop of whom I heard. It seems that a Baptist family had a death in the family, and while their minister was out of town, this person passed away. They asked the minister of another denomination to conduct a funeral service. He said that he would have to check with his bishop. "Can I bury a Baptist?" He asked the bishop, and the bishop answered back, "Sure, bury all the Baptists you can." So the whole idea, it is a tremendous privilege to be part of a church that Jesus started. It's a tremendous privilege to be part of that and study and teach the same things the apostles taught. What a privilege that is. Now that's number six. Now, number seven, let me see if I got number seven. Oh, yeah, here it is. Number seven is, no, I already did that one. No, I'm going down. I got to remember, I'm going from 10 down to 1. Number five, to be better informed as to the Christian life. Better informed. Once again, verse 42, how that they stuck together with the apostles' doctrine. You know, a lot of people don't know their Bible. You'll ask people, "Well, you believe the Bible?" "Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible." "You love God?" "Oh, I love the..." Give me a verse in the Bible. Give me five verses to talk about going to hell. Or give me five verses in the Bible to talk about heaven. Give me five verses in the Bible to talk about the second coming of Christ. Give me five verses in the Bible about the blood of Christ washing away your sins. Give me five verses in the Bible talk about Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. And people look at you like a deer in the headlights on the road. They say, "Well, I don't know those. My pastor knows those things, but I don't know." Why not? Why not? Can you imagine an astronaut blasted off at 17,000 miles an hour and he gets up into the space there and down there in Houston, they radio him and they say, "Plan B." And they say, "What's plan B?" "Well, didn't you study plan B?" "No, I didn't study plan B." I can't come up there and help you. I can't teach you now. You should know it now. Well, once again, it's a tremendous privilege to be better informed in the Christian life. And that's why I study my Bible, to give you things. We have four sermons a week in here. I preach Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And every one of them is different. I try to give you things in the Bible that are going to help you. Help you men be a Christian man. Be a man. Not a weenie, but be a man. And I help you women be a woman. Be a woman for your man. Be a mama for your babies. And teach your babies how to be kids and be good kids. Grow up to be good Americans. Not cheat and steal, but good Americans. Dress like a believer. Be a good testimony to your friends. On and on and on. These are things in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that Christians are in church are to learn the Bible, to grow in the Lord. We use that terminology and people say, well, I don't know what it is, what it means. Well, this plant right here, this thing will die if I don't put water in it. If I don't water this thing, it will die. If I leave this here all week, next Sunday when you come in here, this will be dead. It doesn't get any water. Well, this Bible is called the water of life. That's what it's called. And when you learn the Bible and you get the Bible taught to you, that's the water that helps you grow as a Christian. It's not just coming to church, but it's coming to church for a reason. To grow in the Lord. So once again, you gotta water this and you gotta put some fertilizer on it. You gotta cultivate it. It's kind of limp, isn't it? Get over there. No, I'll tell you something. Better informed. Keep you up on things. Keep you up on what's going on in the world. Keep you up on prophecy. Keep you up on the way things are going in society, the way things are going in the Middle East. All these things are answered in the Bible. And number four. Your membership will further the Church of Jesus Christ. It'll further it. You know, a lot of people aren't really interested in furthering the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know why. The Lord may ask you that one day. What'd you do to further my church? Well, look at verse 46 and 7. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church grows. One of the great privileges of being a member of a church is to see the Church of Jesus Christ grow and to be part of that growth and further the church along and be part of mission so you can grow churches around the world. This church gives over $6,000 every 30 days away to our missionaries around the world that are building Baptist churches. Be part of that is tremendous. When you stand next to Jesus Christ one day, he may say, what'd you do to propagate my church around the world? You say, well, I gave to missions so that guys could go out and build churches. I helped churches be built. The greatest institution in the world is the New Testament church. It's not government. It's not administration. It's not some parliament. It's not a country or nation. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. Greatest institution. You know, in the Bible, there's only two institutions that God ever instituted. The first one is the family. The first one is the family. And it's being destroyed in America right now. But the first one is a family. He put it together, a man and a woman, to produce children. A man and a woman. And that's being destroyed in this country. The second is the New Testament church. He organized that body so his people could come together and grow in the Lord. It's his institution. It's not mine. It's his. Marriage is not something you and I invented. Marriage was put together by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his institution. Don't you kids listen to the world when it's teaching you about marriage and queers and all this stuff. Don't listen to that. Listen to the Bible. Trust what this Bible says. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Trust this Bible, kids. And being a member of a church is a great institution. It's a privilege. And it's where you'll grow in the Lord. It's where you'll be improved in your life. It's where you'll meet social contacts. It's where you'll get advice. It's where you'll get challenged. It's where you can get together and help the church grow. What a blessing to see people get saved. I love to come to church every Sunday, not just because I'm the pastor, but I love to see people walk the aisle and trust Christ as their Savior. I love to see that. That's the greatest miracle in the world, is to see somebody trust Jesus Christ and become born again. You know, that nurse works in the hospital, works in the OB section. That means, oh brother. Oh brother, what did I get into? And she sees babies born. That's a miracle. To see a baby born. I've never seen a baby born. One time, had a girl in the church, and I went to visit her after they had a baby, and she got out an album. And she started to show me this album of her having a baby. And I said, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that. I know you had a baby, but I'm not privy to that, so I don't want to see that. I wasn't trying to offend her. I just didn't want to be offended myself. What a privilege it is to bring a life into the world. When somebody's saved, the Bible says they're born again. They're born spiritually. They're born physically when mom gave them birth, but now when Jesus gives them a new life in Christ, they're born again. If you're not born again, you can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven. If all you got's the first birth, you can't go to heaven. You've got to have the second birth. You've got to be born again of the Spirit of God. That's when you trust Christ as your Savior. You're born again. Now, that was number five. Four, three. I've got to go to number three. I got all these numbers written on here. Oh, yeah, number three. Number three, supporting the Christ Institution. Verse 44 and 5, once again, the Bible says this. It says in verse 44, and all believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So once again, I use those two verses to show that by support, I mean by coming together in fellowship as believers in a common cause. You'll benefit to see your efforts multiplied in strength and effectiveness. You know, when this church started in 1974 in the YMCA in Helena, Montana, well, actually it started in our living room in 2074 Orofino Gulch in Unionville. But when this church started, we had one missionary at $25 a week. And I painted houses and I drove a bus. I did for 5 years anything I could do to make money. And the church grew and grew and grew. I think now we got almost 40 missionaries around the world that we give $160 a month to spread the gospel. What a wonderful thing to see those things happen. What a wonderful thing to see all of this happen, because we see our strength multiplied. We see it grow and multiplied, and collectively we can accomplish more for the cause of Christ than we can by ourselves. By ourselves, we're not going to be as effective as we come in together. It's like an army. Suppose in America only sent one GI to World War II in the Pacific. Sent one sailor. Instead of collectively, 14 million people served in World War II in America. No, collectively we can do a lot more. And collectively in a church, we can do a tremendous amount for the Lord. But non-committal members can't do anything. Oh, maybe a little here and there, but not much as opposed to coming together. And number two, let's see, we got number two here. I got number two. Oh, no, I do have something. Oh, yes, I do have an illustration for number three. Somebody says the church is costing me too much money. Well, on June 2nd, 1940, a little girl was born. She cost money from the moment she was born. And she grew from babyhood to childhood, or to girlhood. She cost even more. Her dresses and her shoes were more expensive, as well as a doctor, through all those childhood diseases. She was even more expensive during her school and teen years. She needed long dresses to go to parties, and of course, this is 1940. She went to college, and it was discovered that all college expenses are not listed in the catalog. Then after graduation, she fell in love and she got married. And she had a church wedding, and that too cost a lot of money. Then 5 months after her marriage, she suddenly got sick, and within a week she died. She didn't cost a penny since she died. Her parents walked away from the grave. Her husband walked away from the grave. She didn't cost him any more money. And as a church, when it is alive, it'll cost money. And as it grows, it costs more money. But only a dead church like a dead child is no longer expensive. See, as a church grows, you got more lights, you got more heat, you got more air conditioning, you got more property, you got all these things got to be paid for. So when we say, well, the church costs too much money, only a dead church doesn't cost a dime. And if you're not a church member, it never cost you a dime, but you're going to lose out on so much in life. And then you're going to have to say to Jesus sometime, I didn't join your church because it was too expensive. Number two, co-laborers together with God. Have you ever thought about this? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says that when you serve in a church, you work alongside of God. You know, really think now. God didn't ask you to help him create the world, did he? He didn't ask you to help him write the Bible. He didn't ask you to go to the cross with his son and die for the sins of the world. He just never asked you much. But he has asked us to serve him and love him and honor him and obey him and follow him. When we do that, we become a co-laborer together with God. That's what the Bible says, a co-laborer. Can you imagine working alongside of God Almighty, who created everything by the spoken word? Can you imagine working alongside of him? That's what we do in the church. As I said a moment ago, no man is an island, but collectively we have ideas, we have suggestions, and we build a stronger church. The stronger the church becomes, the greater its responsibility is in Helena, Montana. The cause of Christ advances. Here's my illustration for that point. A young man walking across the beach at dawn noticed an old man ahead of him picking up starfish and flinging them back into the sea. Catching up with the man, the youth asked what he was doing. The old man said, well, there's stranded starfish on the beach, and if they are left there, they'll die when the sun comes up. But the beach goes on for miles, and there's millions of starfish, countered the young man. How can your effort make any difference in the world? The old man said, looking at the starfish in his hand and throwing it back into safety in the water. Makes a big difference for this one. The attitude of many in today's churches is, since we cannot completely deal with the problem, let's not do anything. Because it's too big of a trouble. World's too big. I can't do much. That's the way a lot of people think. But what if that starfish was you? What if that little girl in Sunday school that trusted Christ as her Savior was your daughter? What if you and your wife were on the outs and you were about to get a divorce and you started coming to church and you got in church, you got saved, you got baptized, you joined the church, and the church and the doctrines of the Bible and the preaching brought you and your wife back together? What if that happened in your life? You see, you do count. You're that one starfish. You do count. Every man and woman right now in this building I'm looking at, you do count. You do mean something. You do have a purpose for life. And this church has a purpose. And the church wants to be part of your life. It wants to be a purpose-driven church to help you. It wants to be a church that will help you grow in the Lord. And here's my last one, and then we'll go home. My last one, number one. The greatest benefit of joining a New Testament Baptist church is that you lend your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, years ago there was an illustration about a little church over there in Taiwan, and the preacher was preaching about the church helping out the missionaries around the world. And during the invitation, a little girl walked up the aisle. She walked up the aisle, and she took the offering plate, and she put it on the ground. Of course, I'm too big, and she stepped in it. And she says, "I'm giving to God all I have. I don't have any money. I don't have any expertise. I don't have any qualities that I'm aware of that would benefit the Lord. But all I can give him is what I am." And she stepped into the plate. She says, "Lord Jesus, I give you my life." And I think that's the greatest benefit of being a member of a church, is giving the Lord all I've got. You know, I'm amazed sometimes why you keep coming back Sunday after Sunday for almost 40 years. Why you keep coming back here. I'm amazed. Because I know what my life was like before Jesus saved me. I'm amazed you come to listen to me. I know you come to serve the Lord. I know that. But I'm just amazed at how God blesses and how it works and how it operates. And all of us collectively, that's all we can give to the Lord is ourselves. And really, that's all he wants, is us. He's not interested in your money. Even though we'll give him portions of that, that he blesses us with, but that's not his main endeavor. He's not interested in that. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's not as interested in your marriage as you think he may be. But he will benefit and bless it. All he wants is you. And he'll take you and tremendously use you. I don't know how he'll use you, but he does. He's God, and he uses every single person that comes into the church. As a committed member, he uses every one of us. He gives us certain gifts. He gives us certain talents. It's amazing what you have that you're not aware that God will use if you'll just give yourself to the Lord. It's amazing. You say, "Well, I don't have anything to offer him." Well, you can get in an offering plate like that little girl in Taiwan and say, "Well, Lord, this is all I got, and I give you what I have." God will take that little bit, and he'll multiply it over and over again, and he'll use it mightily for his work. Because all he wants, really, is a committed, tender heart. That's all God requires. We can all give that. Amen? That's number 10. That's the most important thing in our lives. And I challenge you today. Don't waste your life. Don't waste what you have. Use it for the Lord. Here's my closing illustration. Can a person be a Christian without joining a church? Yes. But it's like a soldier without an army. It's like a student without attending school. It's like a salesman without a customer. It's like a sailor without a ship. It's like a bee without a hive. An author without a reader. And a baseball player without a team. These situations, they might exist, but they would not be very satisfactory. The Lord says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." God wants us to assemble together in a church relationship. Let's stand. You may be here this morning. You may be or have been thinking of this. This should be the day you step out and come. This should be the day you step out and say, I'm going to commit. I'm going to follow my Lord in baptism and unite with this church. I'm going to make this my church home. You may be here this morning and you've been thinking about being saved, and you've never been saved, but you've been thinking about it. This may be the day that you ought to step out and come and say, Pastor Rick, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be born again. I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. I'm ready to commit to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me of all my sins and save my soul, give me a home in heaven. Whatever the situation is, I ask you to step out during this invitation. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. The Lord stepped out on the cross of Calvary for you. You've been the only person in the world. Christ has still gone there for you. He stepped out for you. Would you step out for Him? What are we going to sing, Brother Charles?
401.
401 in our hymnals. Let's sing that good song this morning. And if the Lord spoke into your heart and He speaks to your heart, maybe even right now, would you step out and come and say, Pastor, I'd like to be saved. Pastor, I'd like to get baptized. Pastor, I'd like to join the church. Whatever the Lord's dealing with your heart concerning, would you come today? Got to trust His word.
Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessing.
The Lord may be waiting on you.
Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now.
Can you trust Him?
He will save you, He will save you, He will save you.
He'll never let you down. I thank you for coming this morning. I thank you for taking time to listen to what I have to say from the Bible. I pray it's been a blessing for you. I pray that it gave you something to think about. Leave out of here, go on home, and maybe talk about it with your spouse, some of the things we went over. And the Lord will wait on you. But it's so important, what I've said today, for your life, your marriage, and your home. To do honor to the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you today for the Bible. Thank you today for church and being able to live in a free country and get out of our homes and in our cars and come to church this morning. I pray, Lord, not one person would leave out of this building and say it's been a waste of time. I pray there's been a blessing to folks. Whether we agree with it or not, I pray that there's something that we've said this morning that will be a blessing to them. And I pray there's enough been said that folks will learn and lean on what has been said and just ponder it, pray about it, study it in their hearts. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed tonight and this morning.